So this past week, I had a coffee with Jack Rind, who carried in our wreath this morning. And it was just such a privilege, and I felt so honored to listen to his stories. They just came to life in the space between us, like we were sitting there watching a movie together. "How old do you think I am?" Jack said to me the first time we met, and he did not give me time to answer. "I'm 99 years old," he said. 99. We had coffee this week because when Jack was 24, he was a lieutenant with the Royal Canadian Artillery. He was in charge of a troop of 30 men, and he fought for the Allies during the Second World War. Like every young man he knew at that time, he'd joined the Canadian Officers Training Corps as soon as he started at university. And he was called up to the front almost the minute he graduated. "Finally," he said. That was his thought, "finally." Jack left for England in 1942 on a boat, to which he witnessed sheets of metal being soldered to repair holes just hours before they left. A hurricane separated that ship from the destroyers charged with its protection. Jack was posted to Italy. He operated the 25-pound guns that would help the Allies to capture territory held by the Axis. He visited the Vatican while on leave in Rome. Standing in St. Peter's Basilica, he spotted a strange-looking door. Curious, he opened it and stepped into a small room at exactly the same time as the Pope, who entered the room from an opposite door. When the Pope saw Jack in his uniform, he came up, put his hand on Jack's head, gave him a blessing. "What do you want me to know about war?" I asked Jack while we were talking. "What do you want me to know? What do you want us to remember?" I asked him. "I want you to know," he said, "that war is such a stupid thing." This from a man who owed his career to a connection made in the officers' training corps, and that first job to the introduction to his future wife. "Still," he said, "war is such a horrible thing. And the people who suffer most, worse than the soldiers," he said, "are the civilians." Jack talked about the farmers whose lives he saw ruined, their possessions taken, their livestock stolen, their family members killed by shelling. "And this suffering and destruction is worldwide," he said. He talked about how strange he felt, looking down the sight of his gun at the enemy. "Then I'd capture those Germans," he said, "and they were guys just like my guys," Jack said. "People just like me. Remember, the enemy is a person," he said, "just like you. Just like me. Remember." I thought it was interesting that Jack said this, and timely, because I've been talking to people here in this community and to people around this neighborhood, asking what people are struggling with right now, what they're challenged by. And one guy I talked to this week said he struggled with how divided we all are right now. And I knew exactly what he meant. We were at Thanksgiving dinner this past October, and someone at that dinner table brought up a hot button topic. Assuming that everyone at that table felt exactly the same way about the issue, My husband and I both shared our take on the matter, boldly, definitively. But instead of being met with widespread agreement, all of a sudden the room got very quiet. And someone changed the topic. It was jarring. My husband and I hadn't anticipated this. We talked about it all the way home. "Can you believe it?" we said. "All those years, we thought we were among family and friends," we said, "and here this whole time, we've been among them, the enemy." A neighbor posted on Facebook in the days before last year's provincial election that if anyone in his online circle planned to vote for a certain political party, they should unfriend him immediately. "No point in pretending otherwise," he wrote. "Our friendship will never work out, and you're a reprehensible human being," he added. An enemy. Another friend who lives in the UK posted in the days after the Brexit vote about meeting someone in a pub who'd voted opposite to what he had. "I gave them the finger," he said, "and I told them where I thought they should go." What else would a person do when face to face with the enemy? The newspaper printed a map of Canada after the recent federal election, blocks of impenetrable colors that refused to mix. Red and blue, orange and green, a block out east vowing to look out only for themselves and people like them, a block out west threatening the same, the middle, agreed on one thing and one thing only: to never negotiate with the enemy. 101 Remembrance Days have passed since the end of World War I, 74 since the end of World War II, and here we are, still struggling with our enemies. And the guy I was speaking to this past week said he wanted to know what we could do, if anything, as people of faith, to heal what divides us. The Sadducees were a sect within Judaism during Jesus' time whose most defining characteristic, as far as I can tell, was a deep and abiding commitment to never getting their hopes up. Sure, they said, you could hope for more or better, for change, but if you're not actually able to manifest it, you'll be disappointed. Better not to hope at all. "Face it, Jesus," the Sadducees said, "there's nothing more than this." "Teacher," they said, "Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies and leaves a wife but no children, the man must marry the widow and raise up offspring for his brother." Now there were 7 brothers, they said, and the woman eventually marries all of them. "Now then," the Sadducees say to Jesus at the resurrection, "whose wife will she be, since the 7 were married to her?" "Admit it, Jesus," they're saying. "Hope for anything more is silly. How would your hope actually play out?" they said. "When it comes to human life, there's no hope for anything beyond what we're currently living, and to think otherwise," they said, "is embarrassing. It's juvenile." Of course, there have been 101 Remembrance Days since World War I, and 74 since the end of World War II, and humanity continues to struggle with division. That's life, and there's no hope for anything more, the Sadducees would say. Well, I wouldn't have believed it possible. But there I was, hearing it with my own ears, an interview on CBC Radio, a conversation between the grandson of the Nazi commandant of the concentration camp at Auschwitz and the granddaughter of Jewish survivors of that camp and the Holocaust. "I'm ashamed about the legacy of my family," said the grandson of the Nazi commandant. "I'm right now connected with 176 survivors worldwide," he said. "I respect you," the granddaughter of Jewish survivors said to him. Now, had we asked their grandparents 75 years ago if such a conversation would ever take place, what do you think they would have said? And yet, I was hearing it in real time, hope. And last Sunday, we had dinner with friends, people whose existence we had no idea of a few years ago, former refugees from Syria, now newcomers to Canada. We sat around a table playing cards. We were playing Wizard. Just 3 months ago, one of them was living in hiding in a room in Beirut, and now she was here playing Wizard and eating lasagna. Had I read about her in a newspaper, I might have said to myself, how could there possibly be any hope for her? Hope for anything more? But you know what? There has been more for her. They were too old to have children, the story goes, well past their prime. Sarah and Abraham were nearing the end of their story. They didn't expect there to be another chapter. But God said, look toward the heaven and count the stars. If you're able to count them, so shall your descendants be. Moses had a criminal record and a speech impediment. He had decided to live out the end of his days in obscurity, in Midian, end of story. But God said, I see something more for you. You're going to set my people free. And Moses said, who am I that I should go and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? There isn't enough in me. And God said, I will speak and help you and teach you what to say. There is hope. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? They said. Isn't this the carpenter's son? They said. Isn't his mother's name Mary? The first ingredient in transformation is hope. Jack was able to see his enemy as a guy, a person just like him, because he had empathy and a willingness to communicate and to understand. But before it all, he had hope. It was hope that made him want to see if there could be more to the story. That's what we bring to the conversation as people of faith. 101 Remembrance Days since the end of World War I, 74 since the end of World War II, and we hold on to hope that there is more to the human story than division. Our actions of empathy and communication and understanding are fueled by our hope that change is possible. If it were the case that we thought we were totally on our own in mending the world and healing division, well, we might become like the Sadducees and say there's not a lot of hope for us. But we're people of faith, and we believe we're not alone. Jesus said to them, those who belong to this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy of a place in that age and in the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage. They cannot die anymore. They're like angels and are children of God. And the fact that the dead are raised, he said, the fact that folks entrenched in opposite viewpoints can find common ground, the fact that walls can be scaled, the fact that corners can be turned. Moses himself showed in the story about the bush where he speaks of the Lord as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. God is the God not of the dead, but of the living, for to him all are alive. Don't ask me to explain it. I can't. I just know I've seen it. People on either side of a great chasm of division find a bridge. Deep and painful wounds heal. Jack went back right to the exact spot where he sat for 7 weeks in mud. That was all he could remember of the site. And here, now, he couldn't recognize the place. Fields were green and growing. People moved out and about. There's more at work in this world than just us. We believe in God, who has created and is creating. Remember, there's more to the story. Remember. 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 Hope. Remember. Amen.